right, back here on the Big Show. It's Patriots Friday. I'm Glenn Ordway. Steve D'Assi's in the house. Tom E. Curran is here. It's time for our weekly Patriots Friday chat with the left tackle of your New England Patriots, Matt Light. Mr. Light, how are you? Oh, he's calling a landline. Good. Oh, yeah. Let's get on a landline. Oh, that's what happened.
He's going to a payphone? He's going to a payphone.
Yeah. He's not going on a payphone. All right, we can go to him now. Matt, you there now?
I am, sir.
Oh,
yes, I'm in the tunnel.
Terrific.
Hey,
great.
Matt. How's everything?
Yeah. How are you? Good, man.
Yeah, we were just beating the crap out of you. Well, you know,
some of these guys were.
We couldn't hear you. We were just tearing you apart. Yeah, it was just
That's uncalled for, man. You know I'm here for you. I was trying to telepathically communicate today.
Yeah, I got that message.
Yeah, telepathically doesn't work with fat people. I think it's the fat. It can't penetrate.
Are you
through
talking
the
about him?
Whatever.
I don't think Matt's fat at all.
No, I'm talking about me and D'Assi.
What?
That's not necessarily.
Well, it doesn't work for me either. I can tell you that much. That's probably what it is. All these years I've been trying to make this work, and it's all about the fat content.
I got a vibe. I wasn't sure if it was you, though.
All right, answer us the most important question of the week. How is it that you guys look so freaking good in first half of these games out on the road, and then in the second half it's a totally different team?
Well, you know, it's not an easy question to answer. It's not like there's the one magical thing I can say and you guys are going to be like, oh, that's why that happens. No, but, you know, when you go out and you're playing on the road and you have three and outs and, you know, you can't get anything done, you can't execute well, you have, you know, mental mistakes and penalties and things that come up like we had, you're not going to have success on the road. And it doesn't matter who you're playing against, whether it's the Jets or, you know, anyone else. And, you know, we obviously can't play in that fashion. It doesn't work, and we've proven that to ourselves.
Yeah, and I know it's not an easy answer. And you can almost look at the defense and say, well, there are a lot of new players, rookies, second-year players, guys that, and on the road, younger players seem to have a little bit more difficulty playing at the same level. But this offensive unit's been together for a while. And that's what's amazing to me, that you guys struggle so much in the second half. You know, and people constantly throw the adjustments out there. Oh, adjustments are made. I mean, is there something, especially with this offense, with a group that's been together this long, that you guys would have this much difficulty game after game after game now out on the road in the second half?
No, you know what? I mean, again, you know, you're right. I mean, we've got a lot of guys that have played a lot of football and know what it takes to play and win on the road. And, you know, it's just one of those things. When you don't execute, you're not going to have a shot at doing anything out there. And that's what it came down to. I mean, it was just a lack of execution and a lack of awareness in certain situations. And, you know, it led to us obviously digging ourselves a hole that we couldn't get out of.
Well, it's similar to what we saw some of last year. Is this a trend, or was last week just an aberration?
Well, I certainly hope not. You know, I mean, look, and I don't want to take anything away from the Jets either. I mean, they played a good game. I mean, they came up with the big plays and they needed them. They obviously were able to shut us down in certain areas. And you know, look, we got to be able to run the ball. We talk about that. We've said that, you know, for a long time now, and when we go out there and we have negative yardage in the run game, it makes it very difficult to call those plays. But when we dial things up, we have to be able to execute. And so, you know, is this going to be a trend? I mean, God, I'd hope not. I'd hate to think that we went through all this effort in the off season and, you know, all the work we put in during camp and everything else to come out and play like that. But I've got confidence in the guys we have in that room. And you know, look, we've all worked. We've had a heck of a week this week, I can tell you that much. You know, we put a lot of time in, and we'll make it a strong emphasis to come out, you know, not only firing, you know, in the opener, you know, to kick things off, but, you know, obviously coming out of, that time that we have during halftime. I mean, that's got to be critical. That's got to be very, very much a point of emphasis for us. And individually, we got to come out firing in the second half a lot better than what we have, you know, to date.
Matt, when you say you guys had a difficult week, and Tom Brady alluded to that immediately after the game ended, how difficult this week was going to be, what does that consist of? I mean, full pads the whole week, more film work? I mean, is it all contingent upon how badly you play, how difficult the week will be?
No, I mean, I mean, we won quite a few games in a row a few years back, and I can remember every week was just as difficult as it could possibly be. But, you know, we had a long week. And when I say that, I guess it's more along the lines of, you know, we were definitely padded up. We worked on every little thing you could work on, situational stuff. Definitely tried to really emphasize. emphasize, you know, the run game and the passing game to clean up all the little things that we didn't get right. You know, so there's a lot of corrections. There was a lot of, you know, how are we going to attack this week and what's going to be different and what are the keys that we really need to focus on to win this game. And then really, you know, like you alluded to, too, it's a lot of film study. It's a lot of working with the guys that you're going to be playing next to or around and making sure that you guys have at least communicated the different looks that they give, anticipate some of the things they're going to do against us. And all that adds up to a lot of work put in, you know, by Friday, let alone coming in tomorrow and putting the finishing touches on it.
All right, you're going to miss Aaron Schobel?
You know, I tell you, I always look forward to that matchup. I mean, he was a high motor guy, a guy that, you know, obviously was very good at pass rushing and created a lot of issues for us up front. But it was always a fun matchup, man. I mean, you know, 9 years playing against the same guy and not having him out there, that it'll definitely be different.
Were you surprised that he walked away from the game? And a lot of people, and he's still out of the game right now, a lot of people thought he walked away from a big contract up there in Buffalo, that he'd land in Houston, he'd land somewhere else. And to this point, he's still not playing. Are you surprised?
You know, he's definitely a different guy when it comes to the game. I'm not sure how much he was kind of into it towards the end of it. You know, I talked to him a little bit and it seemed like, you know, each year he was itching to get back to his place in Texas, or, you know, he had some other things on his mind. So I think when the game finally leaves you, or you start feeling yourself called to do something else, it's kind of easy to walk away from, regardless, you know, what's out there and what's on the table. So I guess I'm not too shocked by it, but definitely not the norm to have a guy walk away when he's still fully capable of doing his job.
Is he at all similar personality-wise to Logan?
are we just going with the cowboy approach here? Or
yeah, we're going with cowboy approach.
No, I'll tell you, man, I mean, I haven't played, you know, next to anybody that loves the game more than Logan does. So I think in that regard, they're completely different. And you know, and obviously they don't have any other similarities as to how they play. But no, I think Logan's situation is a far cry from what Schobel was facing.
And I don't want to get into contract talk unless you want to. but on a personal level, if a guy loves the game that much, how hard do you imagine this is for him to stand on what he says is principle and stay home during this period of time? If he loves the game as much as that, you know, have you spoken to him? What the hell's my question?
Well, I mean, I think your question is for me to answer for him what he's feeling.
Yeah,
and I won't try to do that, but I will. Yeah, I think anybody that's watched, you know, Patriot football and in the years past and has seen what that guy's done, you know that he definitely loves the game, and I would venture to say that not being out there is definitely not an easy thing.
Do you think there was a report last week? Chris Mortensen said that Logan will be back by week 10, and I know you guys are friends. I don't know if you've kept in touch, but do you think that Chris might be accurate?
You know, I have no idea, and definitely would leave that up to him to answer. But whatever it is, and it's just, you know, unfortunately he's not with us right now.
Right. Thanks,
Matt. Is this Buffalo defense the one that played reasonably well against Miami, or the one that really didn't show up against Green Bay?
You know, I think these guys are, you know, that they're very consistent. They're very well coached. I think if you look at this defensive front, you see a lot of guys that fly around. They're always around the football. They're guys that just have a relentless, you know, pass rush style. You know, very much, you know, how you would talk about, you know, Schobel when he was there. I think all those guys that they have on their defensive line, you know, at linebacker, they're guys that are, you know, at any point they can make some big plays. It's never obviously perfect, but those guys play it pretty well within their scheme. So, you know, I think you're going to see a team that obviously playing in a divisional game, you know, they're going to be ready to go. I mean, if they're playing us, everybody always seems to be ready to go when they play us. So it'll be a heck of a matchup.
You talked earlier about running the football and attempting to run the football. How much more difficult is it to do that when you've got Kevin Faulk, who presented that option on a third down play, that he could run or he could catch the football? How much more difficult is it now without having Kevin Faulk around?
Well, you know, it's difficult for a number of reasons. I mean, look, there's nobody that carried a smile while facing, you know, two-a-days and the worst conditions possible for a football player better than Kevin Faulk. I mean, you know, his attitude was contagious. You know, the way he approached everything was just complete. completely professional in every way. And, you know, since I came to New England, and since you know, most of the guys that have been, the veterans have been around here, he's been one of the leaders in that locker room. And you know, it's hard to you can't make up for a guy like that, and you definitely miss him when he's not out there. And with that said, you know, we all feel bad that he's in the position that he's in. But at the same time, he's still there helping out the young guys, helping out Benny, you know, talking with Freddie, I mean, talking with Sammy, the whole nine, getting these guys, you know, dialed in and dialed up to go out there and play a heck of a game. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, I never really turn around and look to see who's back there. I just know that we've got a stable of backs that go out there and hit the hole hard, and they run well, and they make great decisions with the ball. It's just, you know, it comes down to us being able to give them a shot to actually hit that line of scrimmage with some speed and hopefully get downhill without getting smacked early on.
Matt, with Danny Woodhead back there now, even if you did turn around, you might not see him because he's flea-sized.
I tell you what, man, he's an interesting story. You know, I was talking with him earlier today. He went to Shadron State.
Yep.
When I was at Purdue, I played with a defensive back slash tight end named Ben Smith. That his father was the head coach there. Yeah. At Shadron State, and so, you know, we're kind of going back talking about some of his days in college, and some of the things that he did is unbelievable. I mean, he's obviously a very talented guy, got an interesting story, racked up a heck of a lot of yardage at the collegiate level.
2,800 yards in one season.
In one season, yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, he's close to 10,000 all-purpose yards, or somewhere around there. I mean, I know he's just racked up a lot of yardage, you know. So obviously, he's a threat, and it's fun having a guy like that come in, and we'll see what he can do, you know.
What did you see from him?
Well, I mean, he obviously has good vision, and he's small, and he's shifty, and he cuts really well, and can obviously plant and get upfield and make some pretty good moves. And you know, again, you know, he's that size of a target, it's hard to really get a hold of him and find him within the line of scrimmage, depending on how mm-hmm. he hits it. So, you know, it'll be interesting. You know, we haven't seen anything yet for real, but you know, he's got a good attitude, and he's a good guy.
All right, Matt, we'll talk to you next week. Good luck on Sunday.
I appreciate it, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too.